Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 360, Death Wish.
Full circle.
But you gotta say it like this. Death Wish.
I'm surprised it's one of those movies that I'm surprised they didn't say it in the movie.
Yeah.
My God, it's like
you must have a death wish.
I guess it's really not truly a death wish.
No, like, it's not.
He's wishing death upon others.
Right.
He's not, but it's crazy.
It's like what he's doing is so crazy that you must have a death
right.
wish.
To... But, yeah, well, all right. You must have a what?
Death wish.
Oh, there I'm sorry. Yeah, I apologize. Yeah.
Come on.
I'm off my game. You know, I'm an early riser, so this is like way past my bedtime.
I woke up about 2 hours ago, so yeah. I'm good to go.
Yeah, I've been up since five. So.
Recording this one a little later. I saw both movies this week. I pulled a double. I saw back to back on Thursday.
Nice. Oof. I was going to, and then I'm like, "Well, we record late on Sunday, so I'll just see the other one Sunday, so I don't have to, you know."
It's not a bad idea. It's pretty good idea.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. But
you picked we'll get into it.
So I went to Chicago this weekend.
You did.
Because my other podcast.
I went to Chicago too.
My wife. Did you?
It was at the Fox. Yeah.
Oh, how about that? Yeah. I was like a little razzle dazzle for you.
Yeah.
My wife's podcast.
Uh-huh.
That I am also on. Uh-huh. I'm the sidekick.
You're not used to that, are you?
That's fine. Right. Plus work for me.
That's fair.
Yeah. Congratulations
on your zeroth ride.
Yes, thank you. So she's got a podcast about the Peloton exercise bike that she's a big fan of. And so she was invited right. to ride in the
you
store.
You were invited by proxy.
Yeah, I'm the sidekick, so I got to hold her coat. And
do like the horn sounds.
I was telling her, she's like, everybody's going to want to talk to you because you're so funny. And I'm like, they're not going to give two squirts of piss about me. And I'm like, it's good. I don't ride the bike. So like, I'm funny, but stand over there, fat
right,
guy.
Right,
like
right,
that's.
Right.
And she's like, oh, no, that's not what it's going to be. We walked in.
Yep.
Very first thing that happened is guy walks up and he's like, oh, I'm such a big fan of the podcast. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And he's like, can I get a picture? I'm like, absolutely.
Can you take?
He
hands you the
throws
camera.
Throws his arm around my wife, hands me his phone.
Yes. There it is. You've been cucked by the Peloton podcast.
And I told her, I was like, nobody's going to want their picture with me. They're all going to want their picture with you, and they're going to hand their phone to me.
Right.
Very first guy. Bam.
That's
here's my
funny.
Phone. So I'm like,
funny.
Good job, honey.
Well done.
Good job.
Well done.
So I guess before we dig in, let's go around the table and everyone can say who they are.
This is Joe.
Kevin.
Tom.
Jeez, Kevin.
Sorry. It's late in the day. Get off my ass. So there's no Dan, which is either really good or really bad for the next movie.
Oh, no. That's true. Yeah, this one is not the end of the world. This one will be fine.
Yeah.
The next one.
There's one movie I'm still thinking about, I'll tell you.
Yeah. So anyway.
Speaking of cuck.
Before we dig in, let's do some shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously. We greatly appreciate it. That's why we whore out for it. Every single week.
Gotta have it.
People who were kind enough to share the show this week: Librarian Cynthia, Linnea Thunsell, Lane Levanway, Troy Anspow, I still feel like I'm saying that wrong, but he hasn't corrected me in a while.
Ant's paw.
Yeah.
Okay. Brad Hyen. I know I'm saying that wrong. it's Brad Hyen, right? Braden Hyen.
Yeah.
Chris Sanders, Griffin Fox Smith, Chris James, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Musings of a Cosplay
Witch. Welcome back.
Travis Tewitt, Jason Weese, Tammy Sherman Powers, Chris Magic Man, Julianne Jordan, Brent Smith. I felt like I already said that. No? Okay.
Oh, that was Brenton,
maybe. Smith.
Yeah. Oh, is that what I did? No, okay.
Did he have a monocle on his profile
and
picture?
A top hat? I was typing these up very quickly. Julian. No, I did that
you
one.
Did
Ralph,
that one
right. Ralph Tribble, Timmy Two Zooms, Jason Herndon, Ding Yan Quo. Apparently, I said her name right,
you
so
did.
I'm very
yeah,
excited
she
about
was,
that.
Yeah, she was.
So
you met the status quo, is what you're saying?
Hey, all right.
Oh, like,
that's fair.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So anyway, there. So that's everybody. Thank you very much. And we will now dig into Death Wish.
Oh, man. So.
I've never seen the original.
You haven't.
I hope I've there's no super Charles Bronson fans listening that might be offended by that, but I don't.
I mean, it's from 74?
I've seen it. But I saw it on VHS.
I know about it. Like I've done some research and I've seen some videos about it leading up to this one.
Jeff
you know,
Goldblum, very young. Jeff Goldblum's first acting credit.
So like,
yeah. The guy who played Freddie Boom Boom Washington on Welcome Back, Kotter.
Oh.
Interesting. But I did listen to, there's one other podcast out in the world.
Great.
Besides ours. So I just the one other.
Yeah, this right. American Life.
Yeah. The ID10T podcast with Chris Hardwick.
What? So did he change
yeah,
from Nerdist?
I guess he spun off. I guess it's not, because like, you know, someone
Isn't
bought
he Nerdist?
Nerdist. No.
Oh.
No, he's been going away. So he was at Nerdist. Now he's at Hardwick. And then because someone bought Nerdist, whatever company, I can't remember. But like he's ID10T. So I don't think Nerdist
Isn't
owns
just
the new podcast. Well, no, they go by ID10T. Okay. But they like on the Nerdist website, there's no podcast listed. Like I think he kept the
Nerdist
rights to all
his.
That. Well, but he sold it for
a while ago.
But anyway, so he had
somebody offered us money. I'd sell this thing in a heartbeat.
Goodbye.
You guys are on your own.
Oh, we could always start the real
REAL.
Yeah.
Somebody offers me $35. I'm like, get out of my basement.
So he had,
I feel like we need to have a meeting at $35.
Yeah, he had.
I'd give you your $6.
Thank
he'd
you,
be, send you on your way.
He had Eli Roth on, and it was a pretty good interview. And they were talking about Charles Bronson and how it reinvented his career because Charles Bronson was older. And like he was doing the Liam Neeson type thing where it's like all of a sudden you're doing these, you know, so it's like
it's weird to look at. Like if you look at Charles Bronson in The Magnificent Seven, like I didn't realize it was him the first time I saw that. Like that dude was massive. Like he was a big, muscular dude. And then like the Charles Bronson that I knew is this Charles Bronson.
Yeah. Right.
So when I see him back then, I was like, wait, what happened?
Yeah, the pictures, when I picture him, it's the Death Wish Charles Bronson. Because I think that's even though he did all these other pictures, it's like his claim to fame. I mean, it was these Death Wish movies. They
this
were
was
like,
his franchise.
Yeah, it was
I mean,
his,
but
five.
Yeah.
There are five.
Oh, Death I thought
Wish.
There were three.
There's I thought there were only four. There's five of them?
Five.
Okay.
I looked it
was
up.
Was the last one like made for TV
I
or
think
something?
So.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Because like, there was this weird time in like the early 90s where you would get these made for TV movie sequels.
Yeah.
Like there's like four or five Dirty Dozen movies that were made for
really?
TV.
Jeez.
Yeah. And so like Revenge of the Nerds, like Revenge of the Nerds 3 is a made for TV movie. It was like
Which one was...
That's the
Which
one,
is the
where,
one where he hooks up with the where he rapes the girl.
All of them, I think.
But I mean, like as Darth Vader.
The first that's the first one.
Okay.
And then
yeah, it's all fun and games,
right?
now you're like, I don't think that's right.
The second one was Nerds in Paradise, and the third one was like I think they go back to school as teachers.
I guess I never saw.
They were trying to set it up
one.
For a TV show. And I think there might have been two.
Oh,
made
that's
for
right.
TVs.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
Right.
But,
interesting. I guess I've only seen the first one.
Yeah. But so you would get this back, like, you know, you would see this. You would get like sequels, like true sequels, but made for television. And I don't know if Death Wish ever actually went that route or not, but it got really close.
I will tell you there are five. I looked it up because I was like, I know I've seen the first one. And I'm pretty sure I've seen the second one.
And I
on the Canon documentary, the Full Tilt Boogie, Electric Boogaloo, the story of Canon Films, they talk about. Three, the crackdown, whatever one that is, where people are just like, This is super racist.
I said by the end it got really racist.
Super
like,
racist.
Like at the beginning, like it's kind of racist, but it's like 70s racist.
Yeah, and it's
like the kind of racist where at the time they thought they were being cool and progressive, and now you look back and you're like, whoa, that's
not
I'm
cool
uncomfortable.
Not cool or progressive.
Yeah.
Well,
and like the criminals that he kills, it's like he's killing the colors of Benetton, right? It's like they made sure like there's a white one and a black and then by the last one, it was pretty much he just would walk into a Harlem Globetrotters game and open up fire.
Basically,
yeah, it was.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Seriously, go watch the. If you've never seen that documentary on Canon,
no, I still haven't.
It's incredible.
Sounds good,
but they talk like. They say that by like towards the end of Canon, they were just separating their scripts into the two Chucks. So one was going to Chuck Bronson and one was going to Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, that's all they did. They had the rights to Superman. They had the rights to Spider-Man. They had the rights to Masters of the Universe, which got made. Like that Dolph Lundgren, Frank Langella. Yeah. Frank Langella was Skeletor. Masters of the Universe, the fourth Superman movie, is a Canon production. It's not a Warner Brothers movie. It's a Canon movie. And thank God they never got Spider-Man.
And the last one was theatrically released.
Okay.
So.
And he looks old. Like, that one he looks...
Well, and then he had a TV show, like a series of TV movies, like, after this, where it was like he played, like, a cop or something. It was like he was, like, the patriarch of a cop family or something.
Like,
and,
what's his name? On
like Blue? The Tom Selleck thing, kind of.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
And I think that's what it was about. But they made, like, three or four of those. Like,
that's
it was
so weird. Yeah. So, like, that old one... So they filmed it in New York in the 70s, right? So
74 was the first one.
Okay, 74. New York was not the New York that we see now. It was gross.
It was a cesspool.
It was, and it was dirty, and it was grimy.
And if you think about the movie set in New York in the early 70s, you're talking
like
about Death Wish.
Serpico?
You're talking about Serpico. You're talking about Dog Day Afternoon.
French Connection.
Like, I mean, it was a dirty, filthy, crime-ridden city.
What was the one with... Was it Nighthawks?
I think that Nighthawks was, I think, was like 80 or 81.
Okay. But it was still
New York didn't get really cleaned up until Giuliani.
Right.
Giuliani. Like, you can like him or hate him, but even people that hate him are like, nobody, he turned New York around.
What about King of New York?
I don't think I've ever actually seen that.
Oh, yeah?
That either.
That's Lawrence Fishburne and Chuck Paz, what's his name?
Chucky P.
Palminteri. Yeah, it's just hard to say.
Chaz Palminteri.
Yeah.
If you'd gotten the right name, the first name right, I would have figured it out. But it was Chuck. So
what was the one with Treat Williams? He had one like that. Like, he had like a sleazy New York movie too.
I couldn't tell you a Treat Williams movie to say.
I think Christopher Walken's in it too, mate.
Are you thinking of Suicide Kings?
No, I think look up King of New York. I think it's Lawrence Fishburne. I think
Chaz Palminteri.
Christopher Walken, or Chaz Palminteri is in the different one.
Prince of the City is the Treat Williams movie.
Okay.
Which I think, was that a Sidney Lumet movie as well?
Oh, like, really?
I think it might have been.
I've never even heard of that one.
It was Sidney Lumet. It was going to be like this big, huge, kind of like, it was 81. It was going to be kind of like a Serpico. It was going to make Treat Williams a star.
They wanted Treat Williams to be a star bad.
They did. Yeah. And it almost, it's decent, but it's not like
what's it called?
Prince of the City.
Okay.
And it's like a cop that's like kind of dirty, but not like one of the really dirty ones. And they kind of
he's semi-dirty.
They flip him and then he's got to go undercover. I think it's based on a true story. It's kind of like, and it was going to be like the new Serpico, you know?
Man, Serpico's such a great movie.
Yeah. So King of New York is Lawrence Fishburne and Christopher Walken.
Okay.
So the Chaz Palminteri one is another
I think
new
Chaz
York.
Palminteri is in Suicide Kings.
Maybe that's the one I'm
with Christopher Walken.
Do all cops like Serpico?
I don't know.
Because,
but
I mean,
man, that,
he rats out cops. And
he
like
does.
That does, he was right to rat out cops.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not. But cops are, they tend to frown upon the ratting out
a
of
Bronx
the cops.
Tale.
Oh,
that's Chaz Palminteri. That's one with De Niro.
Oh, with Feifel Moskowitz?
Wow. Was that a Feifel Goes West reference?
It
is
was.
That what that was? Okay.
Well, an American Tale was the... Feifel Goes West is a sequel.
It's a sequel,
yeah.
Right.
Bronx Tales, Feifel Goes East.
That's right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like, I mean, I love, like, that era of Pacino is untouchable. Like, that dude was cranking out performance after performance. So I think Serpico.
Pacino is great until
I feel like Godfather 3.
Scent of a Woman.
Oh, all right.
Scent of,
you don't like Scent of a Woman?
No, I like Scent of a Woman.
That's the turning point.
But that's the turning point,
oh,
right?
Until it.
Like,
gotcha.
Scent of a Woman is where Pacino becomes a caricature.
He does okay. the hoorah, and then that's
and
all it is.
And it works in that movie.
Yeah, that movie's good. He's, uh-huh. he's
no,
great
it,
in that
it
movie.
Works in that movie, yeah. but he never stopped making that movie.
Mm. Nope,
so
right?
he's like Jeff Bridges.
He's like Jeff Bridges and True Grit.
I just, okay, so just on a side note, so I just watched Iron Man 1 for the first time in a long time.
Does he have.
He does not have the Jeff
voice.
Bridges talks like a completely normal, like just Jeff Bridges every day.
Yeah.
And it was so weird because I've seen him in True Grit mode now for over a decade.
Yeah.
And
is
so,
that right? That's how old that movie is?
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah,
close.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So it's like I watching Iron Man, it was just crazy that it was just Jeff Bridges just sounding like he used to sound.
Yeah.
Because he's never gone back after True Grit.
Do you think Bo's really pissed?
I don't think so.
Bo's just like, man, he got another role. We were in a fabulous Baker
Boys
together.
He was just in a Woody Allen movie. He's fine.
Bo was?
Yeah.
Oh, right on. Okay.
Oh, everybody in Hollywood
great.
Wants
yeah,
to be in a Woody
great.
Allen movie.
Of all, like, was it produced by Harvey Weinstein, too?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, so that original one is super gritty and super not fun. Like, it's,
oh, really?
I mean, the premise of the whole of that movie is, I think he's a doctor as well.
He's an architect.
Okay. So he go, but
close.
I do find it interesting that they changed the, like, they can't put this in New York anymore because New York isn't as bad.
New York's not like that.
So they have to put it in Chicago,
which
the
makes
murder
sense.
Rate is way higher.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? That's right. See, at first I thought it was New York and then when I found out it was in Chicago, I'm like, oh, like,
it makes more sense.
But it's right. just funny because at first I'm like, isn't this in New York? And maybe I just knew the first one was. And then when they talked about they're in Chicago, it was like, oh, you said it.
In a worse
Interesting.
City.
Okay.
So like in the original one, his wife and daughter are brutal. And I mean, brutally attacked on like, and they don't pull away.
No,
they force you to watch.
Oh, it's like that House on the Hill or whatever. What's
it
the
is
one
kind
you
of, yeah,
like,
the House on the Hill.
And it's like Rapey McGee.
It is
like,
bad.
So
the wife dies. The daughter goes into.
She's still like in a coma or something, right?
She,
like that
no,
part.
She goes into an insane asylum.
That's
basically.
Is she like catatonic?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Oh,
she's
this
like
poor
all
girl. I was thinking at the end. I'm like, oh my god. You
she
know,
kills herself in the original one.
Oh.
So that's
I don't remember.
Yeah,
it's been
like
a
the
long
daughter
time.
Kills herself because she can't cope with what has happened.
No, so
yeah.
Charles Bronson
so
at that,
that
point's
sends
like,
Bronson over the edge.
Yeah, well, I'm just like.
And Death Wish is like.
What movie?
Sorry. Death Wish.
There you go.
Is what the Punisher is based on.
Basically.
Like, it is the
Punisher.
I mean, because the comic
that
books
makes
would.
Sense.
The comic books would do that, but then, like, oh, there's a big hit.
Right.
Let's rip it off and make it a comic
true.
Book.
Like Frank Castle losing his family. That's
right.
interesting.
And it sends him over the edge. Now, they've changed it a bunch of times where, like, he was always kind of crazy.
Right.
Originally, he was a Vietnam vet. Now he's from Afghanistan. So they've had to update it. But
he's Afghani?
He's Afghani now.
Yeah.
But they always kind of say he never came back, right? So, like, in the original Punisher origin, he's a Vietnam vet.
Yeah.
And he's
the war. Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. He's no longer.
Well, I was like, okay. He said he's from Afghanistan.
I'm sorry.
I think you mean he served
in Afghanistan.
I was trying to figure that out. I'm like, I don't remember that change.
No. So they have to update it.
So the Taliban now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they always kind of say he didn't come back the same guy.
Gotcha.
So, like, that was just, like, a reason for him to become the enemy.
Sure. Okay.
But, like, that original one is so gritty and just, like, bleh. And, like, you know,
it
like.
It follows a similar trajectory of the Rocky films.
Hmm. What do you mean?
Like, it starts out as, like, a legit film.
The
Godfather
it's
film.
It's gritty. It's serious. And, like. By the end, it's just a cartoon.
Basically.
Now Rocky kind of pulled it back with Rocky Balboa. I'm talking up
and
through
Creed.
Five. And Creed, yeah. But up through five, it's like by the end, it's just a cartoon.
I think four is the one where it's straight up. Like five is ridiculous. I don't count five.
Five is terrible.
But four is a straight up cartoon.
Four is a cartoon. Five is a cartoon. Like, so four is like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And a good one.
And then... And then five is like one of those cartoons that was made by a church where they're trying to trick you into watching a cartoon.
Like
trying to trick you into learning about Jesus because it's a cartoon.
It's like The Secret of Nim for me. Like, I remember watching that initial opening animation. I was like, holy crap, this is going to be amazing. Ugh, never mind.
And then they cheaped out.
Is that Bluth?
Yeah. He did the Lord of the Rings stuff, which is, I mean, I like him better than the movies, but that's neither here nor there. So when I heard the creative team behind this one, and I was like, that makes sense. Like, yeah. Eli Roth, who we know from Hostel.
You sure can tell it's Eli Roth directing this movie, because those kills.
No, yeah. See, I disagree.
What?
I mean, besides the kills.
Now, he went, but I would have to disagree with your disagreement. I mean, I get that it's not the Green Inferno or whatever, but my point is, though, that, like, the kills did not have to be.
He brought that sensibility to the kills.
Each kill, it was fine up until the kill. I would never know it's Eli Roth.
Right.
Each
kill
was
fair.
Like, your
that's
brains
fair.
Are going to explode out of your head. I'm like, that's Eli Roth.
Yeah,
the
brains
movie.
Come out of his head, and I'm like, those look like intestines.
That's fine. It was just, ooh. It was just, you know, it was.
But also, Joe Carnahan wrote this. Joe Carnahan, who wrote and directed, I think he directed like Smoke and Aces.
Yeah.
Love
that movie.
Stretch. Like he did a bunch of like really cool action flicks.
Patrick.
Yeah. Patrick Wilson. It's good stuff. This one was devoid of all emotion whatsoever.
God,
I didn't
you know why? You know why?
This movie.
Because you got Sleeping Nick Sleepwalker.
Yeah.
He is so sleepy when he acts.
I could
like,
not
just,
believe.
Does anybody believe that Bruce Willis is a surgeon?
No.
Like, come
make
on.
Him an architect. I would believe the architect.
I could maybe. I mean, it was a stretch to believe Charles Bronson was an architect, but like a surgeon.
Yeah,
no.
It's also tough because I see John McClane. Like, that's who I see when I
right.
see Bruce
back when
Willis.
Bruce Willis had fun in a movie.
But it's not just like, that. Like, that's when I see Bruce Willis on screen in a movie like this.
Right.
You know, like when that. So there's a scene where a dad is. They're at a soccer game and the dad's running his mouth. And he's cussing.
God, that guy.
And I was just like, John McClane would have punched that guy in the dick and put yeah. and then
well, sure. Well, we have to establish that he's very meek and
he's not. Yeah,
but he's not though.
Right.
Like even Vincent D'Onofrio is like, you should have seen him when he was a kid.
Right.
Like he was a scrapper. He was a fighter. So I guess he's pushed that down, and he's not that. He now he's the suburban dad.
Well, I think if you're a surgeon, you're not going to go around punching people.
Yeah, that's fair.
You kind of need those hands.
Just hit him with a.
No,
yeah.
he's.
A surgeon won't even change his own tires or. You
that's
know,
true.
I should have been a surgeon.
but that's why they established with the soccer game that he's not a fighter. He's a.
Right.
You know, he's going to back down. Like
right.
he wants to defend his family, but he won't. He just.
But look, you know you're in trouble with this movie from the opening scene. So it opens with this cop has got is shot.
Right.
Right. And it opens with they're in the cop car and the cop is driving a car. His partner has been shot.
Right.
And he's got a chest wound. And there's two major things wrong
yes.
here. First off, he would have never like, oh, you got shot in the chest. Let me get you into the car and drive you to the hospital.
I didn't have a problem with because it depends. Like in Chicago, who knows?
No.
Like, who knows the time it could have taken for an ambulance to get there?
You don't move somebody with a chest wound.
I feel like you... maybe.
You don't move somebody with a chest
could,
wound.
I could move past that one because...
Okay, he probably killed him.
Can you move you know? Past the fact that this guy with a chest wound is still wearing a goddamn bulletproof vest?
No. No, I can't. That vest should have come off. Or, I mean,
I'm like, they're loading him onto the gurney, and I'm like,
get that vest off of him.
I'm like, that son of a bitch still has his Kevlar vest on. How did he get a chest wound?
There's no, I mean, so, like, I, little inside baseball, my vest goes, like, right, I'm pointing to, like, my, not my sternum, but, like, right above.
Is it made of real gorilla chest?
It is, yes.
Okay.
That's why. And it, there's, so, like, there's a hole. Like, there's technically a hole where if I get hit, I'm effed.
Right.
But, like, for the most part, I've got, it's covered, like, on my
his
ribs.
Didn't look like it had that.
It didn't
it
look like
it went all the way up to, like, his collar.
Yeah,
line.
So, like, you can, the outer shells, which is what he had on, does that. The ve-
and
there's
that,
a
that's why police
inside.
Are called heroes on the half shell.
Heroes in the half shell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the outer shells do, the, like, it looks like a shirt, is what it looks like. But the vest itself still has... like a curve to it. Like your collarbones are exposed, basically.
Right.
So just to not talk about this movie for a second. So I was watching some old Disney videos.
Right.
The Ninja Turtles used to be at Disney World. I had no idea.
I don't remember that.
I guess
they
around
did?
The time of the movie, they did their little turtle concert at Disney.
Huh. I don't remember that.
Yeah. I watched. I didn't either. And they had the actual characters in like the movie suits.
Yeah.
So
poor bastards.
I just didn't realize that. I mean, I remember that was like FHE that made that movie. I remember the logo.
Yeah, you're right.
New Line.
You mean the live action.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was
New Line, FHE. So I don't remember Disney being involved. I guess they licensed that. It was very weird.
Yeah.
That creation was on fire, what, like 87?
Do you think maybe Disney made the costumes?
I think it was Jim Henson.
Yeah, that does sound.
And they
right.
didn't own Jim Henson yet,
but Jim Henson did have an affiliation with Disney for a long time.
Oh,
and then
I think it was Jim.
And then they kind of broke apart.
Might have been why.
And then they bought them, but they did because there was a period where they thought they were going to buy Henson. Like everybody just thought it was a foregone conclusion. And then I think Henson died, and then it got kind of squirrely.
Gotcha.
And,
yeah.
But maybe that's the connection. But I'm like Disney. When I saw the Turtles at Disney, I'm like I never knew. I remember they had that concert. Remember there was the turtle. I went to that when it came. Yeah. So, but I remember all that. And if you watch the videos on YouTube,
they're
it
awful.
Is horrific.
Oh, it's awful. But, I feel bad for my parents.
Yeah. But, yeah.
And not just because they had me as a son, but because they had to drag
well,
me.
There's
down.
A lot
I
of
mean,
reasons.
We,
there's,
yeah.
yeah, there's plenty. Yeah.
So I don't know how. Oh, because the half shell thing. Yeah. I'm like, Disney and
so,
oh.
yeah. So the. He can't save the cop. So Bruce Willis walks in as the surgeon with his stupid hat that's not big enough for his head.
Well, and then they
also, why is Bruce Willis wearing a hat? He doesn't have any hair.
They interrupt him mid-surgery.
Yeah, he's like, hey, can you finish this up for me?
He's literally cutting open a guy's chest, and they're like, hey, we need you over here.
Now he's stitching. He says, can you finish
this
for me?
And then can you
me?
Finish this
he's
up?
Like, right, yeah, I got
to bail. And then he goes to the other thing, and he goes, yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, why?
He's like... Well, like, then why did you call really me? Why did you call me for this? And then he goes to save the shooter's life. And the guy's like, oh, you're going to save that animal? And he's just like, I guess.
No, he says, I hope if I can or whatever. Like,
yeah, he walks in.
I mean, I get what they're trying to establish. I mean, he doesn't pick sides at this point. I mean, it is his job to save lives.
Right.
It doesn't matter if they're a good guy, bad guy. He's not judge, jury, and executioner. He's surgeon.
Well, and it's not like he refused to operate on the cops. We could go operate on the criminal.
Right.
Like, he's like...
And I get the partner's point, though. That's like, you just killed my partner, and you're going to save...
You're
like,
save his life?
I totally get the two sides of it, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
And they're also establishing that this guy is just a by the books. He's a surgeon. He's a good father and husband. He's not a fighter. You know, he's just a very subdued, suburbicon kind of, you know, suburban dad.
Yeah.
Suburbicon. Yeah, I know. That's why I was like,
well. It's weird because James Wan remade this movie right after Saw. It's called Death Sentence with Kevin Bacon.
Oh.
And it's basically the same movie as Death Wish.
Interesting.
And
I remember.
I'm sorry. Do you mean Death Wish and Death Sentence?
There you go. Yeah. There you go. But yeah, so it like, and he did it. Like, that's the version of this movie I thought we were going to get, where, like, James Wan was not, like, he was coming off Saw. Do I have to do it with Saw, too? Can I just say Saw?
No, that would be weird.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Just one syllable. It would just sound like you were coughing something up. Saw!
So, like, I just...
Do you want to play? Is that... Do you want to play a game?
Yeah.
I haven't seen... I've seen the first movie. I think
one
I saw the second... I saw the second in theaters.
Actually, the third one's not bad.
Really? I haven't seen... Is that 3D? Is Saw 3D? Did they do that?
No.
No?
I don't think they got to 3D until like the eighth one.
Oh, 8D. Saw 8D.
Saw 8D.
They stab you, they electrocute you.
And stuff in your face. It's wonderful.
You travel through time. Yeah, it's just all sorts of.
Yeah, great. So then we go and we meet his family, who is, his daughter is nobody I recognize. But his wife is.
I like the daughter.
Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah, I like the daughter though. I thought the daughter was really charismatic. Like, I really for just being
the entire time, I was like, well, don't get attached to her.
Well, right. You know, but like, I'm like, I liked her though. I'm like, for some newcomer, like I've never seen her, but I kind of liked her personality.
She was the only one that was like
awake
fun on this movie.
Yeah,
she was. She was always smiling and like she seemed like she had such a good attitude.
She was always smiling.
I use that as a, you know, that's hyperbole, I believe.
She got shot in the face.
Yeah.
But man,
and then when
poor,
she was in a coma for 80 minutes.
That poor girl going through all that. And then towards the end, you know, I mean, we'll get there. But I'm just like, oh, this girl is going to have some mental trauma.
Yeah.
Like,
which is what, like, that's what I expected to happen. Yeah. I didn't expect an exact remake, but I thought, like, certain beats were going to be followed.
Yeah.
Because that feeling of hopelessness and, like, well, I got nothing left. Like, that makes sense.
That scene at the house was hard to watch. I mean,
which one? The first scene?
With the girls, with the women. Yeah. It just, anytime where you get in that situation where you have people that are kind of defenseless or outnumbered like that.
Right.
And I mean, they tried to hold their own, but they, so this was the thing I wanted to bring up. So we eventually get to the house, and so the.
So, like, they go to dinner, and then the valet steals the address for the house.
I believe they're technically called valerinas.
I don't think that's true.
No,
at
I
all.
Think that they work at a valet. They are ballerinas. Oh. I'm almost positive.
Well,
on this.
Well, if you have any almost complaints, positive. Then feel free to send it to Tom at Real Spoilers, and we can confirm or deny.
So the deal is: so the MJ guy, Miguel, whatever, you know, he's the ballerina. Sorry,
thank you.
he overhears them, and they say they're going to be going out to dinner on this day at this time. So he's thinking, oh, we're going to break into this rich guy's house. No one right. will be home. Well, the problem is, as a doctor, he's on call. He gets in.
They weren't supposed to be home. Yeah.
And so he ends up being called in. The women go out to go get groceries to make him his favorite cake that they were going to have at the restaurant
for
dinner.
I think it was funny where the gal, like, I have just discovered Postmates, like, yeah. in real life.
Oh, yeah.
So when she said, why couldn't we just Postmate it here? I was like, yeah, because it's great. It's the greatest app ever invented. Like, I can order food from anywhere and
well,
bring
you live
it
in,
to my house.
You live in the city, which is great. So you have more of those small, like around me, there's like no post. Like,
even like I brought up the other day and I was like, do you want Wendy's? And I was like,
yeah, they do. Also.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
So they end up being at home and this break-in happens. Are there three guys?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so and
which is just like the original, like it's three guys that break into the apartment,
and it's tough because like the mom is down there and she's trying to make the cake. She sees the page keeps flipping, so the window's open. You know, there's bad news. The daughter's upstairs to go get her iPad, I guess, to watch something.
Isn't
or whatever.
Weird? I expect it like they specifically call it an iPad.
Yeah,
like I feel like that's a weird thing to say in a movie. Mm-hmm. You know, like. That's product placement. And
like
I
instead of tablet.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And
might have been a little product. I mean, I don't know.
I'm sure they were just like, can we get anything for this movie? Like,
I don't know. I think it would feel weird to be like, go get your tablet.
Yeah. iPad's definitely like the
I guess that's true.
That's the most popular.
If you have an iPad, you call it an iPad. If you have anything else, you call it a tablet. Yeah.
So it's tough because like she realizes, the mom realizes something's up. She's like, get down here. And then, you know, the guys start, capturing them and everything, and it's just really hard to watch. And again, the point that I'm getting around to that I wanted to bring up was like, what do you do in that situation? Okay, because so these guys are like, get me into the safe, we're gonna take the money, no one's gonna get hurt if you play along or whatever, fine, right? And so like I believe that was the plan, but also from their point of view, it's like,
who's they?
From the women's point of view, okay. It's like they could be saying that you give them what they want and then they kill you. So the thing is, do you cooperate? If they would have cooperated, I completely believe this movie doesn't happen. Like those guys were going to get the stuff and leave.
I think, I don't know. Cause you got two guys that were going to get the stuff and leave,
but,
and you always got the one loose cannon.
Sure. Right?
Yeah. There's always,
but I mean,
one.
But I really think though that they would have reined him in whatever they had to do. Like they outnumbered him. I just think that they would have left, but the women don't know that. And so it's like they could,
I think it's safe to say that you're right that they would have just, because we find out later in the movie there's been a burglary spree,
right?
Yeah.
And no one
not
else
a murder
has,
spree
has
yeah exactly
died.
So but the women don't know that, and so it's like, do you cooperate and risk them killing you after you give them what they want, or do you fight back and hope to run away? It's like, that's a tough question.
It's fight or flight, and I just think it depends on the person.
And I think,
but
also,
I feel like they were cooperating until he got all rapey.
Yeah, until he was like, "Hey, I'm gonna put my hand in your cooch."
But I'm like that girl. I mean, and I get it again because I see both sides. But I'm like, oh, if she would have just not tried to grab a knife or whatever, I'm like,
he was trying to like rape her.
Well, he was being. I'm not obviously justifying that, but he was doing that. But like the other guys coming in there, he's like, stop. Like they're all like,
but then he kept amping it up. Like the guy was told like, him to stop, but he didn't.
He was like, just give me like 10 minutes. Give us like 10 minutes alone. Give us 10 minutes alone. And
but
the guy,
if the main guy came in, I believe he would have just like been like, dude, just,
I don't think you'd expect the 19 year old to think it through.
Right.
On that
level. It was, she fought.
No, totally. And that's, but so it's just tough though. But I know, but what, like, I don't know if you have any insight to like what you do in this situation, but my point is,
you do what they ask.
Right. Because even if they are being rapey, you maybe not would not die. And so I'm just saying it's a tough situation and it's very uncomfortable as a viewer because you're like, they're so defenseless. And I'm like, don't do something. Don't do something. But again, like, don't do something and maybe die. So I was torn on what I would do in a similar situation.
I mean, obviously my gut reaction is always fight back, but that, I mean,
at the risk of being killed.
Yeah.
Maybe you could not fight back and live.
Or my wife and children could run away at that point.
Oh, well, true. If you were going to, like, you know, hold them off or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But it was a very uncomfortable scene, like with the guy being rapey. That was uncomfortable. And then once they start fighting back,
it's weird. Like, if you think that was uncomfortable, go watch this scene in the original.
I don't even
want
to, but I'm sure.
So much worse.
Yeah.
So then they decide, I think. So they, the mask, a mask comes off, and they realize they've seen their face. So
it's the same thing. I mean, we just saw it in the British, Den of Thieves.
Do they see their face in that?
Yeah, because the guy, one of the guys, I think one of the guys pulls his mask off. Maybe I'm just thinking of the trigger happy guy or whatever.
Trigger happy guy.
But okay, the guy that saw the face was in.
No, it was Den of Thieves because that's why they end. Like, there is a scene because. Like that's
the
what
guy has the mask up. I thought there was.
I thought there was,
but it happens in a lot of these movies.
It's pretty common.
The stupid guy always pulls the thing up
or
and
says
the,
his name.
Yeah, and the other guys go, they can see your face,
right?
And then that complicates it and it loose ends and so on and so forth.
So now this guy's got the daughter cuts his face and throw, and like the mom throws the boiling milk in his face, which again, Eli Roth. I was expecting like some grossness here.
Well, and also we see him later, and I'm like, his face isn't jacked up.
That's what I was like. He's just got the one scar. Like,
I thought we were gonna see half his face burnt from the
because
it's not that much. I mean, I guess it is months later, but skin doesn't heal from burnt like that. Big bad burns.
No, it was like scalding milk.
Yeah, it'd be scarred. Right,
that's gonna hurt. So the camera pans out to the house and you just see two shots.
Yeah. So they both get shot and we find out the mom is dead
and
the daughter is in a coma.
So.
And Mike Epps delivers the news and we never see him again.
Well, no, he's like his buddy surgeon.
But we see him two scenes.
Right.
I got you baseball tickets for your birthday and you can't go in there.
That's it.
We never see Mike Epps again. I'm like, why was Mike Epps in the in two scenes?
It was like Vincent D'Onofrio.
Well, yeah.
But he always had a much bigger part.
But Vincent D'Onofrio, who's always good, but Vincent D'Onofrio not in a Vincent D'Onofrio role. Like, they weren't like, we need to cast a Vincent D'Onofrio type. Like, there was no reason to have Vincent D'Onofrio in this
movie.
Other
than, like, I guess Eli Roth liked Vincent D'Onofrio, which is fair. Like, that guy's great.
But I'm just like, why was he in this? Like,
I don't know.
This
feels like the role of the guy who played Vincent D'Onofrio's brother on Criminal Intent.
Sure.
People who watch that show will know who I'm talking. He was the guy in... the Belko experiment. He was like the boss.
Oh yeah,
played Vincent D'Onofrio's brother on.
D'Onofrio's dropped some weight though.
He has dropped some.
He's still a big dude.
Think about Magnificent Seven.
He was a big.
He was a big bear in that movie.
In that one, and also in what was that Robert Downey Jr. movie where he was a lawyer? Him and Robert Duvall.
The judge. Was he his brother in that?
Yeah. He was big.
Was he?
He was big. Yeah.
He looked good in this one, though, because I'm like, wow, he looks
healthy.
Yeah,
he had a little bit of a gut, but he's like,
but he's a big guy.
He's in his 50s.
Yeah. And he's a tall.
He's allowed.
He's a
tall. Yeah.
Don't,
said the guy who's almost in his 50s who has a gut.
He's allowed.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Some people think it's cute.
Yeah.
But the scene where he walks into Elizabeth Shue's body. It was just like, did they put that tear on your face? Like, is that a digital tear that they rolled down? Because you suck. Like,
Bruce Willis was so bad in this movie.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, I'm like, okay, so I don't know how Charles Bronson was in the first one, and you can tell me, but I'm like, okay, if you're going to do this movie and you're going to Eli Roth the join up when they kill people, I'm like, let's go crazy with it.
That is exactly what I felt.
I agree. Like,
and I am like,
I thought this movie was going to be crazy town.
Yeah.
And I was like,
because it's Eli Roth, right?
And I'm like, I'm in,
he's
man.
He's going to be crazy.
That's
like,
exactly what I
thought.
This
movie was so subdued, and then, okay, gruesome kill, and then so subdued. And,
yeah.
And it's like, okay, you either go fun. It's like Fast and Furious with Vin Diesel. It's like, you either go crazy and have a good time with it and just make it insane, or you make a more serious movie. But this movie, I felt, should have gone the other direction.
It didn't get crazy enough.
It had like that Hollywood sheen on it. And it completely ruined this movie.
And it's a good-looking movie. Like,
well,
I mean,
it was too clean.
Yeah, right. It's like Eli
Roth. I agree.
Roth,
I was thinking the same thing. Like, they should have like dirtied up the film. It should have looked
they
like it was
filmed it on film
like
or something,
or put it through a filter so it looked like film.
Right.
Give it some graininess to it,
just
like
something.
Not have it so colorful.
Everything
like,
was
just
so perfect. And,
But I mean, again, this movie aside, I mean, obviously it should have been what it intended. But again, Eli Roth knows how to direct a movie. The movie looked good. It was polished. Like, he did a good job directing it, but it was the wrong choice for this film. And by not being dirty and gritty, I agree.
The two guys that are involved in this movie, like, it should have been like Smoke and Aces has a similar,
such a fun,
but
awesome
it has a similar look
movie,
like the way it's shot and like the way what's cool about that movie is like as you get further into the movie, like the movie gets dirtier and dirt, like the way it looks gets
like
if you look at Ryan Reynolds' character, he is progressed. Like, when you first see him in the beginning, he's got his suit on and he's you know he looks like Ryan Reynolds. By the time you get to the end, like his shirt, his jacket's gone. He's covered in dirt and and blood, and his face is all jacked up. And that's kind of the progression of the movie. And that's what this movie needed to be.
Yeah.
Is it needed to get worse and worse as it went on. And it just never
did. It was too
did.
Clean, and it was too, too subdued.
It was like Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
It was a lot like the second Jack Reacher movie.
But
in the 70s, movie like this, Dirty Harry, like these were wish fulfillment movies, right? Or death wish fulfillment movies.
What?
Death
there
wish.
Oh, thank you.
Fulfillment movies.
Did that for Red Sparrow, too?
No.
Okay.
And like, so people, it was like, there was lots of crime.
Yeah.
People were sick of it. They all wanted to believe that if they just had a gun, they could solve it. Mm. Luckily, things are much different now.
Are they?
No, I was being facetious.
I don't think they are.
But
that's armed teachers.
Yeah. Like, do you remember some of the teachers you had?
I'm afraid they'd shoot me.
Yeah. I'm like, were you homeschooled? Because, my teachers... No, that's a remarkably bad.
Have you seen the meme that's like arming teachers, and it's like teachers, and it shows a pistol, and then it's like librarians, and it has a silencer on the pistol. Yeah. I'm like, that's clever. Yeah. That's clever.
Keep it down.
But there were these movies that were these kind of wish fulfillment,
right.
You know, like where and that like that's what this movie needed to be.
Yeah.
And I also wonder, is there a dollar figure where Bruce Willis cares? Like what?
No.
Like. What does it take? Like, is it like, oh, this is an $8 million movie? Okay, I'll do it, but I'm going to sleepwalk.
Well, it's whatever.
I'm going to get 12? Okay, now I'll care.
I don't think so. Like, I feel like the turn for him is cop-out.
Yeah.
Like, cop-out's
the one. It used to be, like, sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, on paper, he's a brilliant choice for this movie.
Absolutely.
It's a great idea. And if he would have plugged in, it could have been a game changer. I still agree with all our other concerns about this movie. But ultimately, if he had plugged in and cared, it could have been a game changer.
This could have been his Travolta in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. And it could have been in the same way it was a late career renaissance for Charles Bronson
or Liam Neeson.
It could have been for him.
What's
the last good movie he was in?
Bruce Willis?
Yeah.
Looper?
Yeah. I'll give you a Looper.
Yeah. I think that's probably it.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And he was good in that.
Yeah.
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 That's probably it. And the thing is just movie after movie, those Red movies, it's like Bruce
that
Willis.
That first Red isn't bad. Is it? No. You're thinking the second one.
The first one's awful, but the first one isn't great.
Okay. No, it's not. Yeah, the second one was atrocious, but the first one was like, oh, God.
Okay.
But he just sleeps through them all. It's just, I'm sick of seeing Bruce Willis, and especially because I love the Die Hard movies, the first three.
I like four.
Four's
not,
fun,
four
but
is
I mean,
good.
The first three
Five's
are,
not good.
Yeah, first three, though, are just, that's classic. You know,
even
just,
like, if you look at his run of stuff, I mean, even, like, I like Hudson Hawk. It's not a great movie, but he's fun to watch in it.
I know there are some people that love Hudson Hawk. I am not one of them.
Yeah.
But he was absolutely not sleepwalking through that film.
Fifth Element. Got pretty crazy in Fifth Element. Yeah. Like,
12 Monkeys.
12 like, Monkeys.
12 Monkeys is great.
Yeah. I mean, he really just... I grew up with all that stuff on VHS. And so seeing him now sleepwalk through these movies, I just think there's so much potential there. And he can do...
I think Demi Moore just broke his heart.
Maybe.
That's what it was.
Might be.
I don't think so.
Nope, neither do I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bruno, he needs to get back on the music scene.
Yeah. I think he still does some Bruno stuff, doesn't he?
Not Bruno, but he goes out and sings.
Yeah,
he loves it.
Yeah.
And, you know, people will tolerate it because he's a star.
Because he's Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
It was the closing of Planet Hollywood. That's what it was.
That's probably what did it.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
He wasted all that money with him and Schwarzenegger and Stallone.
I bet you they still did okay.
I think they did. Yeah.
Are those all done now? Or
those are all gone.
Really? No, there's still a couple.
Yeah.
Out.
Oh,
in
LA.
There's a few. There's one in Orlando at Disney. And
not Chicago.
But there are not near as many as there used to be.
How long did the one here last?
I think about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, really? It was so fun down in Union Station. I loved it.
No.
Wasn't that the one?
It was down on the other side.
It was on the landing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I couldn't. Okay.
I remember, this tells you everything you need to know about St. Louis. Planet Hollywood had opened.
Yeah.
It had been open for like a week.
Yep.
And the tea burned out. We just had a plane Hollywood.
Plane Hollywood.
That is St. Louis in a nutshell.
Yeah.
We got a Planet Hollywood, and within a week, we made it just a plain old Hollywood.
Plain old Hollywood.
Yeah.
I remember when it first opened, and I know they moved that stuff around, but they had the Terminator jacket.
They did.
I loved Terminator. I was you know, I grew up like 92 that came out, watched that on VHS. And when I had the jacket, I'm like, that's cool.
I have bigger hands than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, you put your hands in the.
Yeah. He's short.
He is. Yeah. Yeah. It is. He's got tiny hands.
Hmm. You'll find a lot of those bodybuilders are very short. And I think that's like psychologically why they became bodybuilders.
You think so?
That it's like.
You do see a lot of guys in the gym. They're little, but jacked.
But right. Yeah.
I mean, they're crazy, like huge, but they're 5'2".
That's right. That's one of the things I. Here's your wrestling reference. Those guys, when they bill them, they're just like, oh, yeah, he's 6'3". And then you're like, I stood next to him. I was like, I'm 6 foot.
Oh, they just put whatever.
There's no way. Yeah. Like, lift, you know, like Kevin Nash. They're like, he's 7 foot. I'm like, 6'10", tops. He just put lift in his shoes. Like, he always lifts. So that was a little behind the curtain. I didn't want to ruin anybody's illusion.
That's really two references, so you need to tone it back.
So yeah, so he's talking to these cops, and the cops are just like, I can't help you. Like, we'll try.
So you got Dean Norris. And
who's great. Like, that guy. I mean,
he's, yeah, playing a cop, like, that's his thing.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
eating fiber bars. Yeah. Like,
that
right,
was
whatever.
Funny. That was funny when he eats the crappy bar, like, spits it out. I'm like, okay.
He was good.
Yeah, I liked him.
Yeah. Because he still has to get the next job. So he's going to do it.
He needs to be good.
Yeah.
Right.
You know the whole movie.
Yeah.
He's on set thinking, need to goddamn make me. Paul Kersey. I can do Death Wish. I'll give you a Death
give
Wish
you a
movie.
Death Wish
I haven't had a big, huge hit, but I could I could crush this role.
He'd be
and
pretty
could.
Good. Yeah, he'd be great.
Yeah.
I also think he's better at actually playing like the guy that went from soft to badass.
What was he in first?
What's that?
What was he in when
he was
soft?
You just mean that switch?
Yeah. I mean, I think even on Breaking Bad, there were times when he was like really
oh, like really
not,
friendly and
yeah,
nice. And then,
right,
yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I get what you're
and
saying.
Then, yeah.
I thought he started out playing like in a romantic
no.
Show
I don't,
or something.
And I don't mean even weak. Just he just like, right. There were times when he could play it
he
as like,
turn it on
he and, wasn't looking to kick anybody's ass.
Right.
He's just a
dude.
Guy.
Like, I do like the stories when there's a detective on the scene trying to catch the anti-hero. Like, I do like that when they're trying to track him down and then they have that judgment call where they have to be like, what do we do? Do you...
I know you're breaking the law, but I'm kind of...
I do like,
I like that.
The conversation at the end between the two of them was... I liked that.
Well, I'm like, he Hercule Poirot'd it. It's the end of... Yeah. I mean, I won't go into detail, but it's the end of the Murder on the Orient Express where Hercule Poirot, he finds out who the murderer is. I'm not going to tell you who, but like, he has to make a judgment call.
Right.
Do you...
You killed the dude,
them or
but I get it.
Yeah. Right. So he realizes that it's pretty much hopeless. So he takes it upon himself.
Yeah, it's like weeks and weeks and months
along,
go by. They're like, we're gonna get
this
guy.
The daughter still, and like he goes to talk to the cop, and the cop just he turns around and he was like, what is that? And he's like, what is, you know, what are the red cards? He's like, those are solved. And he was like, what are those? And he was like, those are the unsolved.
He sees
just
his
like
wife's name up there.
This giant board of like white cards.
But he also makes a good point. He's like a lot of these unsolved ones, they're gang shootings.
And nobody wants to talk.
Nobody's going to talk. They're never going to get solved.
And that also gives him an idea of like, you
he's
know,
like,
no
we'll,
one's looking for these guys.
Right. He's like, but we're going to work on your case because you're white.
Because you're white.
Different.
You're a white suburban
and
guy.
And you got money. So
there were a lot
some
of those
really questionable things.
I'm right there with you.
And especially with him doing his vigilante stuff where I'm like, you're a white guy in a hood walking around killing. I'm like,
I'm not gonna lie.
Weird.
I saw this movie
in a hoodie,
and I'm walking out,
right?
And I'm like walking past some black people, and I'm like, I'm not okay. One of the good ones.
I just thought, what a weird time to have this. Just this.
Also,
hooded.
the gun debate.
At least he didn't wear a white hoodie, right?
That's true. That's weird. Eli Roth originally was like,
that's maybe a bit on the nose.
He's like, I'm the bear Jew. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah. It just felt very weird, especially like when he goes to talk to the ice cream man and he's just shooting people up. I'm like, this just feels really
Did you ever see that
odd.
Story about him in Inglourious Basterds? So like when they cast him as the bear Jew,
right?
He was small. Like, he was not small, but he was...
He wasn't jacked?
He wasn't jacked. He got jacked on purpose.
Just for that?
Just for that. And Tarantino was pissed.
Why?
He's like, that's not why... I cast you because you were small, and it was going to be this... Like, you're going to walk out, and you're going to, you know, be this small little dude.
Oh, he wanted it to be...
He wanted
to be,
like kind of an oxymoron.
Yeah.
But he got jacked for that role, and he was just like, man...
Oh, I always thought it was cool with him swinging that baseball bat.
Oh, yeah, it was
he's
great.
Like,
but, like, he wanted the idea of, like, this scrawny little Jew.
He was
a big guy named Tiny.
He's every stereotype you have of a Jew, but he's still going to kick your ass.
He's still going to bludgeon your face with his baseball bat. But instead he walks out and he looks like, you know, a bodybuilder.
But I also think that's a good head fake because there is the stereotype of like the little nerdy Jewish guy.
Right, who they had in the movie.
And he's not that. It's kind of like when they talk in, what is it, 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Yeah.
Where Seth Rogen's like, oh, man, like Munich. That was great. It was finally a movie where we're fellow Jews were killing people.
That's right. That's
like
right.
Fellow Jews for Seth Rogen. I'm not Jewish, but you know, like he was like, oh my god, like we should all thank.
All I can think is like, you have a framed Asia poster.
Yeah.
How hard did the guy at the framing store laugh at you when you brought that in? So he goes to the gun store, and he realizes everything's on camera, so he can't. He's like, yeah, all right, I'll think about it.
I think. I like the commentary on the gun store. I think the commercial was very funny, and I think having hot girls influencing guys to buy rifles and stuff, like, I really like that they did that because it feels like that's so something that gun stores would do.
It feels like it's from Jackie Brown when he's showing them the videos.
Yeah. And it's just like, busty girls been like, hey, how's it going? This is your AK. Like getting them to buy more.
And everything is shaking. Yeah. So he starts to get back to work.
Well, the girl Bethany at the gun store, I believe, or was her name? She said that, and you can get a lot. You can get a safe and put all your bullets in there, and they can trace everything.
Like it's all traceable.
So he's like, "Oh, I'm leaving." He was buying a gun to do some vigilante justice,
to do some damage.
And so he's like, "Nope, never mind." And then,
one second thought.
Luckily.
So he this was the weird.
Luckily, I mean, at the hospital the next day.
So he goes back to the hot. He's working, and all of a sudden, here comes MJ. Like MJ's on the table. MJ is dead, and a gun falls out of MJ's pocket.
Was that MJ?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't realize. I saw the gun fall out of this guy's side or whatever, and I think then I left to go to the restroom, and I didn't realize that
was
him.
The same kid. So yeah. Okay. He kicks the gun under the table. Because, you know,
nobody's going to notice a gun falling and hitting the ground.
A Glock hitting the
ground.
And
then him picking it up.
Well, not even that, just like kicking it under the operating table and be like, I'll come back
later. I mean, even if you're in the middle of surgery and if there's like six people around, I can't imagine no one sees that.
No. So he takes the gun. He also goes back and takes the kid's phone, which apparently they just leave your property on you while you're dead on an operating table. And
you're not going to need it.
So now he's starting to put everything together. He goes and talks to the guy who was like the fence, I guess. Is that who he was?
Yeah.
He was the fence. Which I like. Like, this is a cool. I don't know why I liked this scene as much as I did, but like, I liked the idea that he had this massive bar in the back of like his.
Are we here already? That seems awfully far into the movie.
We're 50 minutes in this pod. Not a lot of plot.
Yeah, there's
to the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I feel like something else. So basically, just Bruce Willis starts. He takes this gun that falls and he starts training with it. He gets better. He watches videos, and then he goes and the thing that sets up the whole movie is him killing the first guy. So
we skipped over that.
So he goes out one night and he wants to like kind of patrol the streets, and he sees someone getting mugged at a car, and the guy, they beat him up and throw him out of the car, and the woman's in there and they're kind of roughing her up, and they get into the car and he's like, hey, stop, and they start shooting at him.
Right.
And he gets into a shootout, and this girl films it from the window of a nearby store, and he ends up shooting the guy in the head, shoots both the guys.
Well, he shoots the guy in the driver's seat.
In
the guy
head,
gets out.
Or in the neck.
Yeah, the guy gets out of the car.
Shoots
and then
at
he
him.
Stands over him and just
the little gun. Yeah. And so they call him
the Grim Reaper.
Yeah. And so he goes viral online, and he likes the way it makes him feel. He goes to a psychiatrist. It's like, I'm sleeping better.
Right.
And so he starts doing this vigilante justice thing. He goes and takes out the ice cream man, who's a drug dealer in a neighborhood.
Right.
There's a kid that he meets.
Got shot in the leg or something.
And
he
being
just says,
threatened.
You have to work for him.
But geez, he walks up to those guys.
Yeah, because you have to work for him, said the six-year-old.
Right.
Yeah, drug dealers really need six-year-olds. Like, I'm not saying they're above it, but
have you seen The Wire?
What purpose would a
Because a cop won't stop a six-year-old.
I guess.
But I just thought, so he walks into that neighborhood. He looks suspicious, I would think. And then they're holding guns, and I'm like, he just goes, and he's able to, like, shoot them with no one pulling a weapon on him. I just thought that was very unrealistic situation.
He would have died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's walking the neighborhood with the three guys that look pretty tough, and one definitely has a gun out. And it's like, you know.
He pulls out like the gold plated Desert Eagle.
Are you the ice cream man? Yeah, who's asking? Bop, 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 yeah.
And
I mean, I kind of like I wish the movie was crazier, but I kind of like that he's like, are you a customer? And he's like, something like your last customer. I like the.
But technically, he did not buy drugs, so he's not a customer.
He's not a customer.
So like, it's the last Boy Scout where he's like, so if I hit him with a surfboard, I say right. surf's up.
Yeah, exactly.
Except not ironic or humorous. Right. Yeah,
so true. he's doing this vigilante thing. A lot of people are debating. There's Sway on Sirius XM. There's a radio.
Yeah,
host.
They got
Man Cow.
I didn't realize he was even still a thing.
Oh, he's still. I was in Chicago this week, and there's huge billboards up with the dude's face.
So they're debating. The big debate is the Grim Reaper a good thing? So he's killing criminals and he's cleaning up the streets, which these radio guys have been talking about. They wish someone would clean the streets up, but he's not a deputized, you know, officer of the law. He's a vigilante. And so they're like, so do we want people just going out killing people that they think deserve to die? Like, so is this the right kind of justice? And so there's this debate going on during the whole thing. So anyway, he's out doing that whole thing, and he's while his daughter's getting better. And
she's not getting better. She hasn't moved yet. Like she's stable, but like she doesn't get better until. I feel like he. So she wakes up.
Yeah, she wakes up after the fencing thing.
She wakes up and then he's just like, "I'm done." Yeah.
Wait, he's a fencer too?
No, yeah. She wakes up. He wakes up after the club.
Okay, yeah.
That's when it. Then she's like, "I'm out. Like I'm done."
So anyway, so I just wanted to set up. So that's pretty much how he gets started with this vigilante thing. But the way that Dean Norris starts catching on is that they watch this viral video and he notices the guy shoots like he's inexperienced,
right?
And he also cuts his hand.
That bad detective work. Like no, usually these detectives are morons.
No, I know you do. I love the detective stories, right? And so I like it when they find evidence and he sees that basically the slide kicked back because he didn't know how to hold the gun and it cut his hand really bad. So they're looking for a guy with a cut on the hand and that shoots left-handed,
right?
And so he's not a suspect at this point, but they're out trying to, you know,
figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And every time they come talk to him, like he's hiding his hand or he's doing whatever. So he goes to the fence, and the guy's just
because
like,
he on the phone of MJ, it says I've got these watches for you or whatever, and so he goes and tracks down that guy.
So he sits back and he was like, "Look, I'm looking for this specific kind of thing," and.
And this guy knows he's the doctor because he texts his other buddy that was there.
He texts
on the
buddy
job.
That was there.
It's the doctor from that thing.
Right.
You know, get over here.
So he ends up killing. He blows the guy's brains out.
Yeah.
The fence's brains out.
No, the other bad guy accidentally blows the guy's brains out. And that I was during like that kill. I'm like, ooh. I mean, there were some. I mean, because it's Eli Roth.
That's what the movie needed to be.
See, what he should have done is like got an extension cord. And shocked him and been like, "You're an electric fence now." See?
Yeah.
I mean, I would have been like, I mean, you're not wrong.
If he was having more fun and this movie was crazy, I think, it would have been
a lot to be like The Last Boy Scout. Like, that's what this movie should have been like.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that, because that's a different kind of crazy.
But like, I think, like a Shane Black type of, like, you know, just manic kind of crazy, but, like, still really well done, but that kind
of, like. Or even just let Joe Carnahan do the Joe Carnahan thing.
True.
Like, that's the thing is, like, that dude makes crazy movies.
Yeah.
I think ultimately the problem with the movie is it never took a stand. Like Death Wish was like vigilantes are awesome and we need more of them. Now, no, they're not. No, we don't.
Right.
But from a film standpoint,
let's do it.
It's a lot more enjoyable.
Right. What's like the difference between you and me? I'm not wearing hockey pads.
Yeah.
That's all I could think of during this movie because there are copycats of the whatever.
What's the difference?
But this movie really kind of tries to have it both ways.
It does,
and I think that's it. Ultimately, its biggest flaw.
It also, it doesn't need to be a political movie.
I don't think you can have this and have it.
Well,
not
especially
be a
nowadays.
I mean, you can throw a little bit in it, but there's no like. I think that drags it down.
I wonder
Hollywood,
how much
though,
of that.
Man. I agree.
I wonder how much of those radio segments where they're debating were put in after that first trailer.
Maybe
they were in the first trailer. I don't remember. I just remember that first trailer came out. People were like, "What?"
Because they pushed it, right? They pushed this.
They
back
did
because
they
it
did.
Was going to come out right before.
Yeah,
Las
and I
Vegas?
Still can't believe that a movie. I mean, it's not that much better now with stuff going on. I'm like, I just can't believe this. This movie just felt very weird.
Yeah,
just
it did. I
it
agree.
Just felt strange watching it.
So
you know,
he kills the fence. He kills the one guy
that
was there. He gets more names. This is not a bad.
This other guy has him dead to rights, but then he like a bowling ball knocks him off the top shelf and hits him on the
head.
That
was the most cartoon thing. I expected like little Tweety birds to be flying.
And then is Rube Goldberg a vigilante now?
So he gets the information from that guy. Yeah. Then he goes.
It's the fat mechanic.
Yeah. So now he goes to the mechanic and he's
who does not have a burnt face,
but he's got a big gash on his face.
He does have a scar.
So he injects him with.
propofol. So propofol is the stuff that killed Michael Jackson that he was doing every night.
Oh, is that right?
And so I'm like, oh, I guess maybe it's a painkiller then.
Was it some like was it supposed to be some sort of truth
I
serum?
Thought it was a truth serum.
Well, no, that's what I would have thought, but I'm like, that's propofol, and that's the stuff that Michael Jackson died from. Huh. And you know, he couldn't sleep. He was so addicted to it, he couldn't sleep without it, right?
Okay.
And so it obviously is like I think it was a numbing agent, because he's like, you're gonna like, I'm going to do all this, and you're going to be awake to watch it.
It was from, like, the waist down.
Yeah.
So, because, like, he cut out, like, a hole in his leg, and he, like, reached in and started messing with, like,
well, that
the
was
the
nerve
the
thing.
Nerve.
And then, yeah, that I thought that was a pretty gnarly.
Yeah,
I
mean, oh, yeah.
Pouring the brake fluid on the side. I'm like, okay, that's pretty. I thought that was interesting. That was kind of neat. Now, so I like the way that they used him being a doctor. At least they, like, he used his knowledge to do some
the other
of his kills.
He's just hitting him with, like, you know, yeah. Tinker toys.
But
like,
then in the end, architect. He gives him the info he wants for the last guy. And then the mechanic's like, you're not going to kill me? And he's like, no, Jack will. So that was one. That's your last Boy Scout. I mean, that's. But so he pulls the chain falls.
I mean, it is the last Boy Scout, but the last Boy Scouts were way funnier.
But weren't there, I mean, in the first Death Wish, were there things like that?
I don't think so.
No. I
think
don't
the
think
Death
so.
Wish was just
there
owning the fact
just
that it
goofy,
was
a, the like, first one was a pretty serious.
Yeah, it was not
like,
goofy.
Okay.
They got goofy.
They
not
get
goofy,
goofy
necessarily. I just meant like things like the action tropes of just like those.
Because there were no action tropes yet.
True.
You know, that's like
true.
It's 74. Yeah. I don't know, what yeah. Dirty Harry was,
I mean, they really
75.
They only had just that. They just started doing car chases 5 years
right,
previous.
Right,
like,
right, right.
Like the kind of what we would think of as a modern car chase. I think
yeah.
Most people would say the first one was Bullet.
I would agree.
And that was 69.
And then mm-hmm. French Connection.
And French Connection,
so.
I think, was 72.
Yeah.
And so, like, so, I mean, even car chases
were
pretty
new. Yeah.
Like really true.
Well, like camera, like, yeah, stuntman driving through the streets of San Francisco.
Right.
Hitting those bumps. Like, that was all.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like the tropes weren't.
Gotcha.
These movies invented the tropes.
Okay.
Like that's what it is.
Yeah.
But see, like if this movie if it had a better star, like if it wasn't Bruce Willis just being like, no, Jack will kill you. Like if it was someone actually acting and it had more of those lines, that would go with the craziness. Like
oh,
that
yeah.
I expect, right? Like those lines would be fine if it was self.
And if they were better than Jack will.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But right. Like I kind of, so it's like we want those kind of lines. Better ones maybe, but we want those kind of things, but we also don't want this guy sleepwalking through the movie delivering
that's,
those kind of
that was
the
lines. Biggest problem. Like, and, that is yeah. Honestly, it's...
Because you know, think of Die Hard Bruce Willis delivering. He's a smartass in that movie.
Dude,
he's
when he comes around that corner and he's talking to Hans Gruber on the walkie-talkie.
Yeah, think about the way he talks to Hans.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's
like,
so good.
Yeah, he's... When he's walking through that... Like, they're coming up after yeah. They've killed Nakatomi. Or no, after they've killed...
They
guy.
Killed the building?
They yeah. Well, they do kill that building.
But, well, touche. No, helicopter did.
That's true. But like when he's like always been kind of partial to Roy Rogers and he like the yippee-ki-yay
yeah.
line, like it's just he's so cocky and he's like he doesn't even care.
I can't even imagine how lame that line would be if he tried to deliver it today for the first time knowing
nothing.
Like you know what I mean? Like
it's lame when he does it in 5.
Yeah.
Like well, that whole movie. I was like, I wasn't even supposed to be here today. You know, it's like yeah. I was on vacation. Yeah.
Like, no,
you traveled
weren't.
To Russia to help your son escape from some
right.
criminals or
but
something.
But I think he does it. He delivers it in 4 and it works.
Yeah.
Because he's like, what do you want it to say on your tombstone?
Yeah. 4 is fun.
Yeah.
4 is a fun movie.
4, he's locked in 4.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. But I mean, 1, 2, well, 1 and 3 are excellent.
2's not bad.
2's okay. I just mean, I love.
In the 1 through 5, like, yeah. It's not the worst.
I love the Simon stuff. I mean, Samuel Jackson is so good. Bruce Willis is so good.
No,
Jeremy Irons
he was
is so
saying,
good.
Hey, Zeus.
Yeah, that whole movie is so fantastic. Like, yeah, 3 is so good.
Oh, it's there. Absolutely.
But anyway, so back to this movie. So they tracked down the last guy, and his ingenious plan is to have him meet at a club because it's in public, know that he would go into the bathroom, ring his phone, and start shooting
open
at
fire.
The stall in the
right.
Middle of everybody,
yeah,
and then plan on him to do that so he can then go and shoot him from behind when he's like busy in the stall. Like,
right.
What a cockamamie plan to try to execute! Like that made no sense.
No. So at this, so he shoots the guy in the ribs,
yeah,
and. Now the cops are kind of starting to zero in on Bruce Willis's on Vincent D'Onofrio.
They think this guy is a innocent bystander that got shot. They're like,
right.
We got one of the guys that he shot, and you go to the hospital. It's the bad guy. He's like, I can tell you,
I can tell you who he is.
Yeah.
So D'Onofrio kind of goes in the basement, and we realize Bruce Willis has been living in the basement. Like, his basement is trash. He's been sleeping on the couch. The bullets are just everywhere. Yeah. So D'Onofrio is just like, and I like the fact that D'Onofrio doesn't like dog him. And he was just like, we got to clean this up. Like, if the cops are going to show up here, and if they come down here and see this, you're effed. Like, we got to clean this mess up now.
I really like what they did with his character, because at first, I mean, he's you'd think he's the deadbeat that's always borrowing money and will never pay him back. And he goes through this turn Bruce Will, he's like, you want to go to lunch?
So
he's
like, is there a backstory? Because, like, at the beginning when he's talking about money.
No, they never.
But wasn't there a line where he says something like, I'm a criminal? Like, he's like,
I'm not a criminal. I just, they put me in jail or something. He's like,
he has a pass. It's hard for him to get a job.
Yeah, like, he has to borrow money because he had some sort of...
Yeah, he can't get a job.
And he can't get a job. Yeah, like, he's got some sort of issue.
I think it was probably one of these things that was a minor thing, but it's on his record. I don't think he's, like, a gangbanger.
But
it
never circled back around. No. I didn't think he... But I just found it interesting that they never circled back around his, like... That seemed like it would play a role.
But the thing is, though, that you do think he's going to be that trope of the deadbeat brother always borrowing money. I'll pay you back, and he never does. But I like that scene where he invites him to lunch, and now Bruce Willis has become this crazy vigilante, and he's kind of an ass to this guy, and he's like, what do you need?
But
he was to the point.
But, like, he was never an ass to him. But like, in this scene, he is. Like,
yeah, that's
up
what
until
I'm
this point.
But he's like, what do you need? Do you need money? And I'm busy. I got stuff.
He was like, nah, man. Like,
he's
I just want to go to lunch with you.
And celebrate that I can pay you back. And he gives him the money. And he feels bad. And he's like, come on back here. And he's like, nope, good. I'm good. Whatever. And so I like that they turned that character around, because I thought it was going to be like, oh, God, the predictable bum guy. And then I also thought, before the mechanic gave up the third guy, I'm like, oh, God,
the
please
brother.
Tell me to get out of debt. The brother did not set this up and kill his like.
Right.
I really, because he's his real brother, not like the wife's brother. Right. So I'm like, please tell me he wasn't trying to get out of something and set it up. No one was supposed to get hurt.
I know.
And now he murdered
the
family.
There was a moment.
I was afraid it was going that direction, too. Yeah.
But then when he was like, it was clear he didn't know what was going on. But until then, I'm like, please do not do that.
Right. So the cops are kind of on Bruce Willis's trail. Now his daughter has woken up. And then so they go to see the daughter. And D'Onofrio is just kind of like, look, man, like, she's awake. She needs you. Like, you can't keep... He's like, I'm done.
She needs you, not this other guy.
Yeah, I'm finished. Yeah. So they go... They're starting to leave. The cops kind of question her, and she's like, I don't really remember anything. And like,
and they're hot on his trail.
Yeah, they've got him, basically.
He's like, he knows Walter White's the bad guy. Like,
he
knows, you know?
So they get home.
They get in the elevator.
They get in the elevator, which is like, this is a good scene.
It's creepy.
It's tough to tell if Bruce Willis... knew who that guy was.
Yeah, the way they played it was not
like,
right.
This guy knew who he was. He knew who she was. But Bruce Willis plays it.
The
just...
fact that Bruce Willis was in the elevator with his daughter, who had just been brutally attacked and almost killed, and he's bringing her home, and there's a guy next to him talking about getting shot and stuff. You don't throw any concern up.
He was also looked at him face to face.
Yeah, that did not play
in the bathroom
at all. Yeah. Well, I get that it was dark and chaotic. That I would give a pass. But Bruce Willis looks straight ahead and isn't even like, you know, trying to scooch her closer.
Yeah,
to the wall.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? It just didn't play right.
He's like, no, creepy guy, go ahead and talk.
Yeah,
to
it was a tension filled moment of him talking to the daughter, but I'm just like, what is Bruce Willis awake? Like,
no.
Why would he not be like, yeah, buddy.
That wasn't even him.
We ask ourselves a lot in these movies.
Yeah. They CGI'd his
awake.
Yeah, Bruce Willis didn't want to show up for this scene, so they just CGI'd his face.
So this movie, I mean, this is basically the end of the movie, like, ends real quick. So all of a sudden, he just knows that, because after he gets out the elevator or something,
so
he
goes to the store
and
he registers for the guns.
Mm-hmm.
They clean up the basement's cleaned up. They're all there. Bruce Willis magically hears the guy
this
running
is the weird
around
thing too.
Outside.
I think I saw someone by the window. Like, it's really weird because his knowledge made it seem like he knew something, heard something, blah, blah, blah. Like, but you never really see or hear anything. And all of a sudden he's got this like plan.
Right.
And I'm like,
so he turns his daughter into Harry Potter.
Yeah. But
puts her under the stairs.
But this was also my last hope. I go, please Home Alone it. Please Home Alone it. Booby traps. Booby traps. Booby traps.
I don't think he he did kind
but
of.
But I was hoping.
Right,
I'm like, please make
little
this.
Bit, but it's
not like you're next.
Yeah, but he goes in the bathroom and there's a shower running, you know, like with the clown in the shower.
Yeah, right,
I'm
right.
kind of thinking like.
He's got his talk boy.
I was like
right there.
I was like, paint cans, please. Go down. But that would have made it crazy.
No, I think this works. So like the guy shoots up a bed.
Yeah.
And I was just like, why does nobody have silencers? Like, that's the other thing is, like, they're in a neighborhood. The guy has neighbors. Yeah. They're going to call
the
cops.
Silencers aren't really real either.
Yeah, they are.
No, they don't. Have you ever seen the
but
actual...
But they don't really silence
don't.
As much.
I mean, okay. I mean, movie-wise.
Right.
Movie silencers right. would have made more sense.
But this movie's ultra-realistic, Joe, so
sure.
they know the science.
That's true. That's fair. That's yeah, fair. See? Like the shotgun silencer.
But the pillows under the bed, I mean, right. that's the... You got to do
so
that,
they shoot. He kills the one guy. He shoots. He blows his brains yeah. out. Then there, another guy comes running up the stairs, and somehow, I don't remember, he gets knocked down.
Paint cans.
Yeah. And this was a pretty gruesome, like, he falls.
And then he walks on,
first.
I think he walks yeah. on Legos at the bottom of the stairs. And
ouch.
Slips.
But yeah, like, the dude falls over the railing head first.
Ooh,
and like,
breaks
they
his neck.
They
that's
don't
another
cut
Eli.
Away.
That's yeah. an Eli Roth yeah. thing. It's like, he could have just fallen, but no, he falls in his neck.
Right. And then he's like, they pan back, and the dude, like, is still upside down yeah. like the his whole body is just kind of there
yeah
and then our Bruce Willis goes into the basement our bad guy shoots him in the arm,
and then, you know, he's telling the daughter the whole time, stay in there, you know, and
what
and,
does she do? Comes out.
Oh, she runs downstairs,
of course. And then just as Bruce Willis unloads into this guy, like, yeah. so
we this
see
was cool
earlier
though, because they set
did,
this up.
We did see it earlier in the movie where the guy, you know, and I've,
Bethany
it,
is
these,
telling
these
him
these exist. Like, these are things yeah. you can
as
buy.
As soon as I saw this in the YouTube video, I'm like, oh, this will play a role.
yeah. But he buys the coffee table.
That has
he
like
kick
drop,
and then the drawer
down.
Comes out and he grabs the machine gun or whatever and just shoots the guy
blows
up.
Blows the guy yeah. away. So then the cop show up and they're just like,
this is good with Dean I Norris. Did, this is good.
They're
it's
both
like
yeah.
when did you buy all these weapons?
Oh, the
like,
day my
the
daughter
day my
came,
daughter came home.
And he's like,
and when did you get that cut that is looks healed today?
Today, okay,
oh.
great.
But I like this where this is where he has to make the judgment call,
yeah.
and he's like, well, this is all by the books technically, and he's like, so are you done?
He was like, yeah, I'm done. He's like, good, because you're better at saving lives. Yeah. Let's stick to that.
Yeah.
yeah.
Bruce Willis is like, yes, sir.
Yeah. Dean Norris is really good in this. And I like this, the
he's
writing.
A bright
I
mean, spot
Joe,
in this
he
film.
Is. Yeah. Like, D'Onofrio, the daughter, and Dean Norris.
I mean,
I
Joe Carnahan can write some good stuff. Like,
I'm telling you, like, that dude is a. You give him a small budget and you let him. He was going to do, I think he did like a sizzle reel for a Daredevil movie set in New York.
Oh, he's the one that
the
did
70s.
That before. Okay.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been amazing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think he was attached to direct a Daredevil movie at one point.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
Gotcha.
Either way, but yeah. like he would have been in, like, Smoke and Aces is one of the best action movies in the last 10, 15 years.
I love
years.
Smoke and Aces.
Like,
it's fun.
So
it doesn't
good.
Take itself too seriously.
No.
It's good.
It's got a hell of a twist.
Yeah.
Like, that I didn't.
If
you know,
haven't seen that, Ryan Reynolds,
so great.
Go watch Smoke and
Ryan
Aces.
Ryan Reynolds, Ben Affleck.
That's your video recovery right
yeah,
there.
Smoke yeah, Smoke and Aces. Absolutely.
Go see that. But yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, so it's funny, the scene that's like in one of the like four promotional stills that comes out with Bruce Willis doing the finger thing, like
yeah.
Travis Bickle,
yeah.
you know, like that's...
Well, Charles Bronson does that at the end.
He
oh,
does.
Is he...
He kind of winks and...
Is
yeah.
he... Is Travis Bickle imitating Charles Bronson or vice
no,
versa?
Because I think
Taxi
Driver's... Taxi
Driver's pretty early 70s, isn't
no, I think,
it?
You think Taxi Driver's 72?
No, I think
or
Taxi
like
Driver's
later
like 76. Or
okay.
77.
So I know it's closer. Okay. okay. So anyway, but my point is that like that's
the Travis
the last...
Bickle thing is him going crazy.
Oh, Travis Bickle goes like this.
You
goes,
taxi,
me?
Taxi Driver was 76.
Yeah. Okay.
So no, I'm talking about the, he does the finger gun.
Does he?
And he points at his head like he does. Oh. He does the like finger gun thing. But anyway, because he doesn't, he's out of ammo or whatever, and he just goes like this. And
oh, that's right, that's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
So anyway, but my point is like one of the promotional stills. That's the last scene in the movie. yeah. So I'm like, oh, weird, because it's like it's later on. He doesn't have his guns. He's not being a vigilante, but he sees someone
guy,
out in the
like,
street getting mugged.
Like,
well, I think the first Death Wish ends the same way.
Okay.
Like he's
kind of right.
Like he's done. He's
but
he's
he
done
can't help to feel
with
the
his
impulse.
Mission. And he's kind of, and like it kind of is like he sees somebody that's causing trouble and he kind of looks at him like I could get you and
I
then it's kind of like is he really done or is he not?
And then he says did I fire 6 shots or yeah. only 5?
This is it's kind of like Batman. Like he can't stop because he knows there's people out there being hurt. Like he can't live a normal life and stop because he would feel guilty that there's someone out there getting killed.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. I just figure Batman is like another, like, Batman's
well,
not
obvious.
Killing anybody.
No. I'm just saying it's that old dilemma of, I mean, a lot of the superhero comic characters do the same thing where it's like.
He's the Punisher.
If you
want
to hang up your coat, but it's like, I can't.
And right? I've always felt like that's why Batman doesn't kill people. Like, that's their way of skirting this issue.
Oh, sure.
Of
sure.
like, well, he's not killing them.
There's a great line. I think it was either in Under the Red Hood. or it was in the comic where Jason is back and he's just like, I'm not saying you got to kill the Riddler or Penguin or Two-Face. He's like, just him. Like, why are you allowing him to live?
Yeah.
And Batman's just like, if I cross that line, like, I'm him.
This is the debate with...
It would be too easy.
This is the debate with the surgeon and the cop in the beginning. Like, right. With, like, well, he did this to me. You're going to let him live, you know? And that it's kind of the same
debate. Well, and that's kind of what DC did in the mid-90s when they brought in... They broke Bruce Wayne's back and they brought in Azrael. And it was kind
John
of...
Paul Valley.
It was kind of a giant F you to all the people that were like, Batman needs to kill. They're like, we're going to give you exactly what you want. And it's awful. Yeah. Like, you won't like it.
You want him back now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they were like, oh, no, don't do that. And they're like, well, this is what you said you've been wanting.
This is what you wanted.
So,
and we gave it to you, and now you're all whining about it.
And they were, but at least
people
they were
in the
smart 90s enough.
Wanted Batman to kill people?
Yeah. Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah.
Like, they
well,
wanted...
because, like, the Punisher was huge, and they were like,
Wolverine. And...
They were like, why doesn't Batman do
but
that?
But that's what makes Batman so great.
Oh,
We're on the same page.
We're not making the other.
Yeah, no, totally. I just, as a fan, like, Batman's my favorite superhero. Yeah. He always has been and always will be. And
same here.
I just,
not me.
I just, that's what makes him so great. Right. I can't believe being around in the 90s, people were like, he needs to kill people.
And that's what
like,
the Nightfall storyline was about. Uh-huh. And they put somebody else in the suit so
that's
they could.
I'm glad
so
they did
could.
That.
Precisely so they could walk it back.
To the point where even Dick Grayson was like, I'm done.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Dick Grayson's not down with that because John Paul Valley goes crazy.
And I looked up on Wikipedia the plot synopsis of the original Death Wish and it says, Paul arrives in Chicago Union Station, so he moves to Chicago.
Interesting,
because it starts in because
it
know,
is definitely in New
like,
York.
It's him to get away from it, yeah. I guess. And he says he's being greeted by a company representative. He notices a group of hoodlums harassing a young woman. He excuses
That's
himself
right.
and helps the woman. The hoodlums make obscene gestures, but Paul makes a finger gun at them and smiles.
Right.
And so you're like,
oh now he's going to do it in Chicago.
Like, yeah, like, so has he really stopped? Is he not? And then that's how the movie closes.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting, like, Death Wish becomes a Death Wish.
Thank you very much.
Becomes a franchise, but there's not, you don't get Death Wish 2 until Death Wish 2.
Thank you.
Until
it was the '80s, right?
1982, 12 years later.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
That's because Bronson needed a paycheck.
Like, wait, did I do the math right? No. 8 years later.
Yeah. But yeah, I do recommend, like, I love those 70s cop movies.
Yeah.
Like, those are amazing. So I will recommend Death Wish, the original one, but be prepared.
Ooh.
Like, just be prepared. I'm going to warn you now, like, watch it.
It needs a literal and figurative trigger warning.
Yes. Because I'll say that the scene in question is in the beginning of the movie. And then it goes off on its own. But that
scene
is hard to watch. Much like I said, I've never turned off a movie in my life because I couldn't handle it. But that when I the first time I watched Last House on the Left, and I was like,
that one's pretty. Yeah.
I'm gonna.
You said House on Haunted Hill earlier, and I'm like,
Last House on
Vincent
the
Price.
No, no, no.
House on Haunted Hill.
So Last House on the Left and I Spit on Your Grave were like two that I had been meaning to see, and I finally saw them.
And Last House on the Left is technically a remake of an Ingmar Bergman.
It is.
But it's called
what's it called? It's something spring.
I don't know.
It's something.
Die Hausen on the
Left.
It's something spring, and it takes place in like the 1600s or something. Yeah.
Oh, we do have that one Danish listener if she still listens.
Oops. Oh yeah, let us know how to like. What
sorry about that.
But yeah, like that in both those movies, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna come back to this. Yeah. I need to take a break.
Yeah.
Just fast forward and do the Benny Hill music.
Yeah,
Yakety Sax.
There you go.
That's the song title.
So, there you go.
I will say that I expect this movie to be completely just downright horrific, and so I was entertained somewhat having seen it. It wasn't like Getaway, right? Like, it was serviceable for having seen it. I wouldn't watch it again. I'm not saying it was great, but like, I also expected this to be complete trash. So I was like, okay, I mean, for what it was, I was entertained by it. It wasn't completely awful, but
I liked it better than Red Sparrow. I'll tell you that.
Really?
Interesting. Okay, well, we'll have
all
to.
All right.
Yeah. That's what we have up.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's in the on deck circle for you. Okay. So,
ooh,
I guess
spring
reference.
Training is starting up.
I know.
Yeah,
I'm
well
all
done.
All a Twitter. So, I guess that's
speaking of Twitter.
Yeah. I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett and on ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to continue the conversation online, join us, won't you? If you saw Death Wish or just want to rip on it, we'll let you.
Yeah, do it.
So come on by Facebook.com/RealSpoilers. So also don't forget, we're available on iTunes. Go there, rate, review, subscribe. So that's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up on the next episode, we will tackle Red Sparrow. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Castle gives Howard Saint's money to the tenants.
You're probably one of them knee-jerk liberals thinks us gun boys will shoot our guns because it's an extension of our penises.
I never thought about it that way. But it could be true.
Or maybe it is. But this is gun country. Can't even own a handgun in New York City. Out here, I hardly know a man who doesn't own one. And I'll tell you something. Unlike your city, we can walk our streets and through our parks at night and feel safe. Muggers operating out here, they just plain get their asses blown off.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.